dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. This is Bruce Knox with you as we begin our third show of Season 9, brought to you by, as all of them have been, Triple Crown Family Fun Center, all kinds of fun under one roof. They're located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn, and of course open 7 days a week, although I do know we're recording this on Monday, Labor Day. They actually really closed today. I saw that on Facebook. You can give them a call, find out when they are going to close, but they do so rarely. 740-773-7529. And of course, you can look for all kinds of detailed information on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Gentlemen, I'd like to bring in you two, the ones that do all the work, the ones that are out there beating the pavement, bringing in the stories, doing whatever is necessary, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But we want to introduce them now. First, of course, Mr. John Bruce. John, how are we today?
We are doing outstanding. Excited to be back here in the studio and ready to talk SVC sports.
Good deal. That's great.
Yeah.
I feel like we're into fall now. You know, football's really started. College has started. And we're in September already, and I just can't believe it. So great to have you with us. And, of course, the elder of the two, but still the young man, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are we?
Really excited this week, guys. Some different things going on the website. I do want to share one of them. We're going to be breaking this week. Zeb Downs is a freshman student at Uniota. Mm-hmm. And I've been flirting with this idea, John, for several years. As a lot of people know, I'm a language arts teacher of 20-plus years now, and then obviously I've loved sports my whole life. And so combining a lot of those things with, you know, my writing at J.J. Huddle early on, the Gazette, Great Seal Sports now, and then obviously SVCSportsZone.com, I've wanted to get into the schools. I've wanted to find a way to do a high school journalism internship program. And this is going to serve as an opportunity to kind of be a pilot run for us to do this. I'm kind of playing around with the title or the name still, something like maybe for the love of writing about the game, mm-hmm. something along that mm-hmm. line. And it's just kind of cool. Zeb kind of covered a game the other night down in Vinton County. He and I had a chance to do a little tutoring partnership the other day, and I was kind of helping him with some different things. His passion's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, his notes, his want to get better. And then what we're looking to do is kind of give a student perspective throughout. Now, keep in mind, guys, these are high school students. They're not going to write from day one here. They're not going to write at the level of, you know, the way John covered that game the other night, or a Derek, or a David Weissong, or a Sir Brock Netter. You know, we're not talking about that level, obviously, this early in the process. But what we are wanting to do is open a door and get into our schools and help student athletes do some of these different things where they can find a love in sports in a lot of different ways. So I'm excited about it. I saw kind of his finished piece today. We're hoping to publish that out on the website midweek just to show a student perspective. And I think what's going to be so cool for people to follow, especially people like us, John, mm-hmm. is how much better he gets. And then as the year goes on, how that's able to add some coverage to the website and so forth. So I know John's helped him out a little bit. I know Mike White's helped him out. I appreciate really looking forward to seeing how some of the schools can get involved in this too. But, you know, we're going to start here with this one student doing this. And then my goal is to grow this across. So that's a big time thing. We're going to roll out this week, Bruce, and then we have a couple other things that I'll kind of tease in the weeks to come, maybe even the next month or so. It's going to take me a little longer to get them going, but just kind of getting the brand out there a little bit more, and then as a result, we'll be able to cover kids even more so. But as far as this agenda goes, sure. obviously a great show. You know, Crown Crown Hill Golf Club, as always, will be right in the mix. We have great golf discussion. Crown Hill Golf Club with Kevin there. I also had a nice talk with him. He's given some feedback on our pace of play. John, I know you and I out at games this week. We've had incredible feedback on all sorts of different sports. I can't wait to get your take on that. North Fork Animal Clinic. They're in the middle of our football coverage, a little sponsorship this week. We finally have real games to talk about. That'll be fun. So appreciate North Fork Animal Clinic and all they do for the website. Advanced Services, don't forget about them. They come on board this year. They've been outstanding support early on here. We'll put them with our volleyball segment this week. And, you know, we learned a lot about our volleyball league this week. That's going to be fun. We had a nice, great fan question there as well. So, John, I'll kind of throw it to you. What do you want Bruce to start with this week? We have a lot to get to, so we're going to get to it at some point. But where do you want to start?
Let's just attack the pace of play.
I think that's okay. A good idea. Yeah, because that was something that we talked about last week quite a bit. Shane, why don't you just kind of recap what you've had as responses to that discussion last week?
Well, I think what was funny about it is, you know, the show, you know, we've been on a schedule here where the show's been coming out a little later Monday night. Mm-hmm. And, Don, it was funny because it wasn't even 24 hours later, it seemed like, and we're at the volleyball game together. And volleyball was supposed to be the sport that was quickening up, so to speak, over the last decade, and that was kind of helping its popularity. And I'll be at that game if we didn't have about five delays. It seemed like, you know, 20 minutes long. They weren't that long, obviously, but it just seemed like that volleyball match just never had any tempo to it at all. And I know you and I were stopped by a lot of people, and they were talking about different things, and we're kind of joking back and forth. But you know, volleyball is certainly something this year with a lot of lineup checks and subs, and I can't remember a year where more teams are playing more kids. And you know, John, I know you sensed it that night a little bit. Any comment just on that first feedback that we were getting, obviously within the first day the show was out?
It was brutal because it was a very intense game, and it took forever to do everything. It just felt like every time there's two or three points, we'd have a stoppage and for a minute or so, and just nobody really ever got any kind of there was no consistency to the game. So I do think it's a big thing with, you know, volleyball, where it's such a fun sport when it gets moving really quick. I was able to get out on Thursday and I saw a match that moved pretty quickly. Now, of course, I'll say this, the gym was about 15 degrees cooler on Thursday than it was on Tuesday, because the humidity in St. Trace's gym was very high. So that may have made a difference, but you know, it's just, I would like to see that pace of play speed up a little bit more in volleyball also.
Yeah, Bruce, we have a league this year, and I guess this will come up a little bit in our volleyball section, where, you know, we have a lot of teams that are playing 9, 10, 11, 12 kids in some cases every night. So, you know, the number of substitutions, the number of tweaks to the lineup and different things are not normal for the varsity level, or at least, you know, in comparison. So that's something we'll follow. We'll talk a little bit more. I have one for John here. Then, Bruce, I'm going to come to you with a particular one, and both of you can feel free to jump in on any, but John, I thought of you right away. Baseball, softball, 15 runs after three. You know, right now, obviously, it's our 10-run rule there at five. Mm-hmm. From the third inning on, let's start there with John, you know, being is in baseball as long as you have been. How would you feel about this?
I don't know. I feel like it might have been your junior year where the OHSA kind of did that, but it was 15 after four, and I remember going to games and just a lot of guys were missing at bats. Mm-hmm. Because once you get to that point, I mean, if you're going to do it, I think 15 after four, I wouldn't ever go after three. Now, one thing I think you could say is, you know, if it's let's say it's 15 after three, if one coach is just like, hey, we're good, I think you should be able to do it. I don't know how many coaches would do that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, when you know, you know. But I just think it's a sport that is so important to get good quality at bats in. So maybe you're not getting them in a complete blowout, but I just like this. I like the five innings. And if it had to go to four, I'd understand that. But yeah, I understand, especially with the timing. I'll say one thing for kind of pace of play. I like the OHSA changing that lightning rule a little bit, because that might actually help some more in baseball and softball. And maybe, I don't know, maybe if weather comes into it, you can call it after a certain amount of time. I don't know. I just think it's such a great game, and I don't want to see too much of a change.
Yeah. I think in three innings, the team getting beat, everyone's going to have an at-bat. I think, gosh, there's different – this is going to sound funny to the average fan, but there's different ways you get beat by 10. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Sometimes you get beat 20-1 and it was over in the first inning. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other times where you're a little bit out of pitching. You kind of throw in the towel. The game still has some pace to it. You're still throwing strikes. I know as a young coach, a lot of times it was hard for me to coach ahead of the next game, because I felt like, you know, you're under the scrutiny. As you get older, there's nights I've taken it on the chin. I got beat like 22-3 or whatever by a team a couple of years back that we ended up beating in the second round. Just because of the way the pitching unfolded, you had to learn to throw in the towel in the one. That way you had a chance the next two nights. Mm-hmm. And then as we happened to play them on a third of a back-to-back-to-back that time, where the next time around we had our number one on the mound, we beat them 2-1. You know, so it was a situation where, you know, the game is different. I certainly would be open-minded to the three. Let me throw this one at you, Bruce.
Sure.
Because this made a lot of sense to me the other night, where the team couldn't get over that 30 hump. How about football? 25 points in the fourth quarter.
So it's third. So right now, 30 in the 30? Third. Yeah, 30 in
it's
the
30,
third
period. Right. So what about 25 in the fourth? The 25 was given to me because they said, in terms of the miracle comeback, that pushes it to the fourth possession.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how about 25 in the fourth quarter, just again to help speed that painful finish up?
I think that would be reasonable. I could see that. The 30, you know, when you're down by 30 points and you're facing the second half with a running clock, you still have a chance. I mean, there's no question about it. But when then kind of kicks in on 25 in the fourth, I think that's reasonable. I don't think that, you know, they're still going to get a lot of reps. It's not like in baseball, you know, if you just you stop after three with this 15 run suggestion or whatever. I kind of like that. As somebody that's watched a lot of, you know, fourth quarter where there's still a chance, but not a very good one, I could see 25. I kind of like that. So,
well, the other night in the McLean game, Adina was good the other night. They were sharp. Mm-hmm. They scored with the big play. They scored with the ground game. They had a lot of different kids touching the ball. It got to the second half, and you know, then McLean has a kickoff return, and then, you know, Adina puts a couple extra kids in, and McLean breaks a long run, and they just it just kind of, you know, got to 30, came back to 20 some, and it was just the last 15, 16 minutes of game time in that game was just painful. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the last thing you want to do is see somebody get hurt. People aren't really getting quality reps. I understand what you're saying about quality at bats, John, but I question when a certain game in any sport gets to a certain point, how quality is what's going on. Because what happens is the one team's on pins and needles in today's time, especially, like, I don't want to run the score up.
Right.
You know, so like the game starts to be played a completely different way. And so that's why as I get deeper into my career, I'm a little bit – I'll be honest. When I first heard about the football running clock a couple of years back there, I didn't love it. Now as I start to see it as a fan, and even if I were a coach on either side, I think I would see value in it. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Now,
the other – go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, you mentioned 15 after four and – or in the fourth quarter, or 25 in the fourth quarter,
right.
Sorry, in football. could you do that in basketball? I know we do it in the tournament, but maybe you just wait till the fourth quarter in the regular season, because, man, there's some regular season games that can get real sloppy down at the end, and maybe if the clock's moving, is that something that you guys could see, or is it?
I'm okay. I think in basketball, you have to be a little bit more careful in terms of when you're running the clock and when you're not. But, you know, we get a lot of a look at this at how it unfolds in the summer basketball. I certainly would. Now, I don't like the second half in terms of third quarter, because I think basketball is the type of sport where a lot can happen. But sure, if you get into the fourth quarter and you're starting to push that 24-25 mark, I think, again, everybody involved benefits from moving the thing along. Yeah, I'm okay with that. The last thing here, guys, is the on the golf side, the double par rule, getting the ball picked up. I know some junior highs use some different things like this. They've talked about it at the high school level. I've had some people talk about caddies. Kevin asked me to kind of save that for shows to come, if I didn't mind, because he had some extra comments on that. He'd love to sit down with me and talk, where obviously his daughter, Maddie, and I guess it's a good time to say Maddie Schultz and Ty Schoblock were our first Herbie Strange athletes of the week. Obviously, some of those kids voting-wise get the advantage of starting John 2-3 weeks ago, where the football players just performed, or the volleyball players, you know, so forth. But the obviously well-deserved Ty and Maddie really been very, very consistent in the early going. But I guess what brings that up is, you know, Maddie travels and plays in a lot of different tournaments. So Kevin's seen a lot of different types of tournaments and a lot of different use of the caddy and the junior golf and so forth. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that go into that. So we'll save some of those things for shows to come. But those are some of the things just in 1 week of feedback, Bruce, that to me is what makes the show so special. Because, again, like John and I are out at the game last week. The show hadn't even been released for 24 hours. And we literally, the two of us, probably had conversations with 3, 4, 5 different people just at that one ball game.
Okay. Well, that's great. We appreciate fan feedback, and we'll let you know how to do more of that in just a little bit. But, guys, I wanted to kind of go off the agenda here. I don't think either of you are aware of this, but through some tweets this past week, we decided here at DBK Media Services to inflict a veto power that we have so that we can insert a new segment. Heretofore unknown. That's correct. Because we feel it's our job to keep our audience fully informed, and because Shane Combs has been known to consume various and sundry delectable treats while supposedly observing SVC sports events, and furthermore, because the capital of Kentucky is Frankfort, we pride ourselves in bringing you the following new segment, sponsored by no one at this time, which is simply called Eat It. I just thought this was, you know, good lead-in music here as we talk about what Shane ate this past week while at SVC games. Now, I know, I believe, Shane, you disclosed this a week ago, what you had where you were at the Foundation game. Is that correct?
It is correct, yes.
Okay, and if you will remember or remind us what that was, and what I'd kind of like to do here, we're stealing our rating system from the late, great John Corby at WTVN 610 and his producer, Joe Bradley. I would like for you to tell us, what was it that you had, I can't recall right off the top of my head, during the Foundation game? What was it?
We started our SVC plate, and we said over here on the left, that was at the Zane Trace game that night, Jamboree game.
Yep.
We went with the mushrooms.
Okay. The fried now, mushrooms, correct?
I may or may not had more than the mushrooms that night, but that's what made the official plate.
Okay.
It was the mushroom.
That is.
Then,
okay.
Well,
let me cut you off. So what I would like for you to do is, since the mushrooms are the feature consumable, I would like for you to rate them on a scale of 1 to 5 bellies, 5 being the highest highest award that you could give, 1 being the lowest. From 1 to 5 bellies, how were the mushrooms at Zane Trace?
I would put them in the 4 to 4.5 range.
Wow, that's pretty high. Now, do you sure. go? Do you go with mustard on those, or ketchup?
No, a little bit of a ranch sauce on
ranch,
the side.
Right. Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, then I don't want to keep you from talking about last Thursday. I know that you tweeted out last Thursday because you were at PV, if I remember correctly. Is that correct?
Yeah, see, this past week we were able to get the double football dosage. On Thursday night, we went with the home opener at Paint Valley. And a long-standing tradition there at Paint Valley mm-hmm. is the fish sandwich.
Okay.
So I actually kind of had a long day there and never made it home. Just I was there from work yep. all the way to the game. So I had to go with 2 fish sandwiches that night.
Okay. And 1 to 5 bellies.
That's starting to push up into the 4.5-5 wow. because that's even got a little traditional factor in it for me. Maybe I'm a little biased too.
Yeah, I was going to say it's got the ZT point guard bias there probably. Okay. All right. Now, I don't recall that you tweeted out anything for Friday.
Well, on Friday, I wasn't sure because I didn't know. I was on the road. I wasn't sure that I was allowed to officially put – So maybe an honorable mention.
Okay, was it a Zane Trace?
Nachos,
I'm sorry. Was it an SVC location? It wasn't, was it?
No, it was Adina okay. at McLean.
Okay.
So I went with the nachos with meat and cheese was probably the biggest or maybe the best item I had that night. Mm-hmm. But I would probably at this point, and I hope I don't upset the McLean people here, I'd probably at this point maybe just make it an honorable mention. I don't know that it would be worthy of the SVC plate.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll continue our Eat It segments probably. Let us know if you want to hear this. Derek Webb was right, Johnny on the spot as he normally is, and he was saying this has to be a new segment. So I actually had been thinking about it anyway because I know food is near and dear to Shane's heart. So, and John, you just feel free to jump in here and, you know, tweet it out. Well, I suggest we use like SVC Sports Talk, you know, the hashtag and then an additional one for hashtag eat it, you know, EATIT.
I think we could do that.
Okay.
Now, I'll throw this out there. I was at Nats Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. this weekend, and I had a delicious crab cake sandwich with remoulade.
Remoulade?
Yeah.
That sounds Egyptian. What is that?
It might be. It's just a sauce. I believe it's like a kind of a Creole sauce.
Something that makes it $10 instead of $6.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was not $10.
$12.50.
No. I wish. $16.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom went high class with the $17 crab cake on grilled cheese sandwich.
Well,
I don't know if it's fair to our local boosters to make them compete against.
No,
you know,
it's not. It's a professional sports, but it's cool. Okay, John, we'll give you the cool factor, but we're not going to rate them on the bellies or anything like that. I can see new T-shirts, you know, or new signs at least that. You know, we were featured on SVC Sports Talk and received a 4.5, you know, belly rating. I can see that. So, okay, well, moving right along, it was a winning week for the SVC, and up next, we look to see if the glass is half full or half empty. And our segment here as we approach the half full, half empty segment brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. They are available by phone at 740-773-7387. And you can look them up on the web at www.northforkanimalclinic.com. So the way we're going to work this, I think, we had some discussion just before we began taping, and we have some topics here. We're going to take one at a time, and I'm going to ask John to tell us whether he feels they're half full or half empty after hearing the topic. You can look at these things many ways, and so we have sort of a point-counterpoint kind of thing from the old CBS show or from Saturday Night Live or whatever you want to call it. But John's going to come out and give his opinion, and then Shane, being the obstinate person that he is going to take the counterpoint position just for funsies. He thought he could do that. So we'll see how we're going to do this. Our first topic is, John, are you ready? Here we go. Yes, even sir. Though in a loss, Huntsman's life without McCloskey starts with 20 points on the board. Is the glass half full or half empty?
I think a lot of people know me as kind of a half full kind of guy, but I'm going to go half empty on this. I mean, you gave up 39 points to an Eastern team that their wins last year were not against very good teams. So, you know, I like the fact they scored, mm-hmm. but the fact the defense wasn't very good, I'm going to go half empty.
Okay, he goes half empty. Shane, how do you support half full?
Well, I think where I would go half full would be this is a type of particular year that is going to be a transition year where it may not show up in the wins and losses, but I still think where – Huntington can continue to take steps forward will be in how they can score points and how they can kind of stay competitive, putting a competitive product out there every Friday night. I can't argue the points of John talking about a team that didn't score a point against Huntington last year, and then this year they almost drop half a hundred. But mm-hmm. it's a situation. I go back to even like when Bartholomew was there, they had the 0-10 year. They had the 5-5 year. And John, I don't know if you remember, but that 0-10 year, that was still a really fun team to kind of mm-hmm. watch grow. Like as sports fans, you know, I can remember I would stay in the third quarter and watch Huntington play offense a time or two because I was interested to see what they were doing. And a lot of times, you know, yeah, they were getting beat by 30 and 40 points, but they might be scoring 20, 25, 30 points a week. And you could kind of see some of those things. So when I see a Beeler, I see a Halbau and some of those athletes continue to compete. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it and act like they're going to win a lot of football games this year because they're probably not. But if I had to give a full approach, I certainly think it could come in. You know, scoring points is fun. People in today's time would much rather watch offense. They'd much rather watch a 50-30 game than they would a 20-0 game. And I think that's still what Huntington can get a little bit with the athletes and moving forward and trying to keep the program building mm-hmm. off of that you know, momentum they've had.
All right. We go to our second topic. And, John, you take one position on this. Tanks escape MacArthur with Amanda and Waverly to come. Half full or half empty? How do you see it?
I'm going to go half empty. Obviously, you get out of there with a win, but it was not a pretty win. And yeah, it's going to happen when you're playing big, strong physical teams like Vinton County, but they just couldn't move the ball at all. So the offensive line that I thought was going to be a major positive for them mm-hmm. kind of struggled on Friday night. Obviously Vinton County had a lot to do with that, but man, it's with the next 2 weeks coming up, I just don't see it as super positive moving forward.
All right. Shane, he's going on the half empty side, I believe, there. What say you about being half full?
Well, I'm going to go half full because, guys, I was on pretty good record in the preseason where my vision or my goals for this Uniota team are probably a lot different than those that would be inside the Uniota circle, and rightfully so. You know, when you've accomplished what Uniota's accomplished, I'm sure they have the goal of going out and winning every football game they play, getting back to the playoffs, trying to win the league, so forth. But I can't help but start to eyeball, you know, the middle of the schedule when they start to play the Adenas and the Paint Valleys and so forth. So me half full for Uniota was I was concerned if they didn't get out of Vinton County with a win that they could start 0-3. Now, could they still start 1-2? Sure they could. They play two really, really good programs. But I guess the bigger thing for me, John, and I don't have the inside scoop unless I miss something. I thought, by the way, your coverage of that game was off the charts. Unless I missed something, they got out of it healthy. There's a lot of guys that have worked really hard in the off season, and it means a lot to them to come back. And those guys had, you know, roles in helping them win that game. These are guys that are only going to get better after playing 3, 4, 5 weeks of football. So to me, it's all about health and confidence in the first 3 to 4 weeks, no matter what the record reads. If this team is healthy come week four, this team is crazy dangerous. Now, that might not mean in the playoff picture with the division they're in and so forth, but I'm talking in terms of those 7 SVC games. If this team is healthy come week four, they are crazy dangerous. You know, Little is going to get more and more experience underneath. You know, Carroll's going to get stronger every time he goes. Skaggs, Smith made some key plays the other night, you know, defensively. There's just a lot. That offensive line, I think a lot of that credit does go to Vinton County. And I think a lot of that, well, the style will play. You know, we'll talk about this a little bit. When we start talking Logan Elms, we start talking Vinton County, we start talking about a lot of different athletes and size up front. It's a little different than what we get top to bottom in our league. So I think John's on to something there from the one standpoint, Bruce, but I think there's a lot to be very optimistic at Uniota. A lot of it's going to depend on how you view their playoff versus league hopes in terms of what we talked about on our preview show back 2 weeks ago.
All right.
Now, I do want to throw out Vinton County is much improved from last year, and I was very impressed with them. But, I can see where you're coming from on that, Shane.
You're just
I thought you did a good job of throwing in the special teams there too. You know, because we've seen some situations where the snap and the hold. I know Stout knocked a couple through. Daly was involved. Who was the snapper? I don't have that article in front of me.
I actually had it incorrect on the story. It was actually the long snapper on punts is Connor Valentine, but it's Dalton Ford on extra points and field.
Oh, okay. So again, I've had so many coaches, Bruce, tell me over the years that. Hey, the kicker in a kicking game is talked about positive, negative all the time, but high school scares coaches to death is the snap and hold is usually the problem. So that's gosh, that was obviously really important there the other night to get out of there.
That makes sense. Our third topic, guys, is Westfall, Zane Trace struggle to find offense. John, is the glass half full or half empty?
I'm starting to sound like a negative Nelly here.
Yeah.
I just listening because of the Vinton County Uniota game being on weather delay, listening to the Zane Trace game on WKHJ was rough. Just couldn't really get anything going. When they did, they take a big step back. You know, Westfall struggled with a Madison Plains team that's not traditionally very strong. Now they lost a lot. Lost a lot to graduation, but I was hoping to see a little bit more out of each of these teams in week one.
All right. Shane, how do you counter that and counterpoint? How is it half full?
Well, I think it goes back again to your expectations. What were you expecting? Okay, so I respected what John's saying about Madison Plains there. I felt the same way. But here's the thing about Logan Elm. I talked to some Vinton County people about this, and you know, with the way Vinton County looked, and then, you know, when Vinton County goes and plays Uniota and everyone starts doing the crossover comparisons and so forth coming out of that Jamboree week. John, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like over the years we've had experience of Westfall playing a lot of these Pickaway County schools. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can stretch to the Madison Plains, but I'm talking more like Logan Elm and Circleville probably right now, because Taze Valley's been obviously taking off a lot of schedules. But an average Logan Elm team would probably win our league every year, and a really good Logan Elm team would win every game they play in our league every year. So I think we do have to pump the brakes just a little bit and understand that Zane Trace, we talked about who they are. They're a team that can move the ball a little bit. They have some pass catchers that can do some different things. I think Fry was one that caught a ball and got in the end zone there. They were able to do a couple things. Obviously, their defense was outmatched in terms of what Logan Elm was able to do running the ball. Again, their non-league schedule, both of these teams are probably looking at a 1-2 to 0-3 type of start, but go back to your expectation. My glass will stay half full for a week or two here because we're talking about teams that most people are talking about competing in that 5-6-7-8 spurt, okay? So do I feel like these are both teams capable of pushing up into the 5-6 hole? Maybe. I don't, you know what I mean? We'll see. But I guess that's where I would come back half full. I think, you know, with some of the things that Zane Trace can do, Westfall certainly has some skill guys. Some of the reports I got, they got to get a little bit better up front and do some different things there. So obviously the next 2 weeks going to be very difficult. But that's where I would go half full, is just remembering expectations and remembering what it is they're competing for when we get to weeks 4 through 10.
All right. Our next topic, Ruby and Panthers running under the radar. Half empty, half full. How do you see it, John?
I'm changing it up. I'm positive Percy this time. I'm going to go half full. Okay. Obviously with Lane Ruby, he's just an unreal athlete, and you know, Southeastern's been really good the last couple of years. Kind of, you know, lying in the weeds, just waiting around. But you know, after this week with Vinton County, I like their next 4 weeks, and then possibly next five. I could see them. I don't see them beating Vinton County. It can happen, but they could easily go into week 8 with Uniota at home on Lane Ruby's senior night at 7-1, possibly 8-0, with a chance, you know, obviously with Paint Valley and Dino following, you know, they're not going to be hiding in the – they're not going to be
– hidden for a while.
Yeah, they're not going to be hidden for long. Yeah, they're going to be pulling – animals up in trees, and is that leopards? I don't remember, but you know, I think they're going to really show what they're made of over the next few weeks.
Okay, so he takes the positive on this one. Shane, what say you about Ruby and the Panthers running under the radar?
Well, I think he just made my point for me, which was well said. I mean, there's a part of me would think my glass is overflowing. What a dangerous football team! But he just kind of made my point for the glass to be half empty in terms of SVC championship contender. Now, obviously, if they beat Vinton County, I totally agree with the 7-0 start. You could be 7-0 facing Uniota, Paint Valley, Edina down the stretch. 7-3 might get them in. 8-2 would certainly get them in. So playoff contention, a lot going on there. But in terms of league, I think they would be more dangerous, John, if they could fly under the radar and almost play the Paint Valley or Edina early on. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think you're not flying under the radar with anybody when you're 7-0 and Uniota's coming to town. Yeah, and then at 7-1 or at 8-0, you're not flying under the radar when you go to Paint Valley. And then at 7-2, 8-1, 9-0, whatever you are, you're not flying under the radar at Edina. So although I agree with the terminology of the opening that Bruce used there in terms of under the radar, we've talked the whole preseason about what? Paint Valley, Uniota. And then after them, who did we talk about? Oh, Edina. You know, and then all of a sudden we get to Southeastern. So it's to me, they are early on, but you know as well as I do in sports, guys, once they build the 3-0 and 4-0 and 5-0 and 6-0, that's not going to be the case anymore. So this Vinton County week is huge for them, because if they get out of this week, I certainly see a 7-0 start as a big time possibility.
All righty. Next topic, Warriors providing they deserve the same – approving, rather. Let me do that again. Warriors proving they deserve the same contender status of Paint Valley and Uniota. Half empty, half full, John.
I'm going to have to go half full. Ooh. I'm going half full.
Okay. Percy?
Flip my coin. Yeah. Yeah, flip my two-headed coin, and it landed on, you know, obviously heads
right
for half full. So I'm going to say they deserve the contender status. You know, McLean's not very good. McLean's not a very good football program right now, but they won two games last year. They hadn't won two games since 1975. That might not be true. That might be off a little bit. But they were very impressive in their opener, scoring on their first two plays from scrimmage, both near 80 yards or more, showing that they still had the big play capability in the passing game that after Fogelsong retired from high school sports, they still have just a dynamic playmaker in Preston Sykes, and just speed on the outside, size, just athletic ability everywhere. They've got really good running back in Metzger, and it's just, man, I like that team. I think they are definitely contenders.
All right, Shane, how do you counteract that?
Well, this is certainly – he's put me on the spot here for the first time. So far, so good in terms of me coming up with what I want to talk about. This one's obviously a lot tougher because people know I really, really like this team. You know, Sykes and, you know, the Bennett being the deep threat that John talked about there. Metzger and Throckmorton and Cottrell and on the run. Clark gives them such a solid kicking game. Defense pretty solid. Willis up front does a nice job. But – I guess there's a couple that one a breaking news today. I don't know if you caught this before we came on the air, John, that Adina's second week game here has been canceled and they are searching for another game. So now there's some good news, bad news in that in terms of, OK, you stay healthy another week, but you don't play. Now you're going to go all the way and play. Let's see. I don't have that schedule in front of me. I want to say Courthouse is their week three and then they go Paint Valley Uniota to start league play. So. What does that look like in terms of their what does that look like? Yeah, I don't know. 2 weeks off, rest versus rust. You come right back with Paint Valley. That's really important. So where I would go glass half empty is just maybe tough scheduling breaks here in terms of, gosh, this is the team clicking and ready to go right now. I can't imagine this week off is going to do anything to help them at all. I mean, so that's probably my biggest negative point. And it's really no fault of the Adina kids. It's just, you know, how Coach Pinwell and the group react to this. It's something they're going to have to deal with for sure.
All right. Next point, Gullion's arm makes Piketon dangerous. John?
I just don't know. I'm going half full.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to be Mr. Positivity tonight. Well, at least for half the time. Now, Gullion, he had an injury last year. I think if he was available as a freshman, Piketon wins more than one game. That he is going to make them a very dangerous offense. They have athletes. Piketon always has athletes. It's just, you know, how are they going to be able to use them? And now with a really good quarterback, you know, they're going to be able to use them, and that's going to make them a very dangerous taunt, very dangerous team as the season moves on.
Okay, Shane, how do you counteract that?
Well, I think where there are certainly things you like about Piketon coming into to this year that weren't there a year ago, but I still think in terms of where this complete roster is at, I still think they have a long way to go. Now, I do like their non-league schedule. I do think there's more winnable games in there. They're going to open their beautiful facility. They're going to have a winnable game there. They're going to have a winnable game in week three. You know, but again, when you get into league play, I think that's where some of the things are going to be really tough in the matchup. So I like some of the passing game. I like some of the connections I see the other night. I like a defense with Henderson and Laura and so forth, making plays and not only making plays to get the ball back, but in some cases going and creating points themselves. So that's encouraged. The Del Rio with the kicking game is impressive. But I just – where my glass would still be half empty right now would be from the standpoint of how's it going to translate into weeks 4, 5, 6 when they start to get into SVC play, trying to establish themselves as a top half contender rather than just that 5, 6, 7 spot that we you know, we kind of have them linked to right now.
All right, and our final football point that we're going to discuss, Bearcats score 49 in first half on new turf. John? Are you going to stay Mr. Positivity here?
No, I'm not going to. Shane be positive on this.
Okay. All right.
It's his guys.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to go negative.
But you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, I can. If you've known me, I can definitely be negative. I just think, you know, I know it's a home opener and you're breaking in the new turf and everything, but and you got to challenge yourselves. with what they had coming back, no offense to Eastern, they did, you know, they are moving up in SEC 2 in most sports, which is, that's going to go well. It was the game was over before it started.
Okay.
I know Eastern went down and scored in their first two possessions, but that was it. I mean, the game's over. So, you know, it's great to break in the new turf with the win and everything. We'll kind of see here in the next couple weeks. I know they're really good and I know they're hungry, but I just wish they would have challenged themselves a little bit more in week one.
Okay. They could have made, you know, rounded it off to 50 points, couldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that too. I mean, they could have gone for two. You can't go for three, but you might as well go for two at the end of the half. I'm just
giving crap.
Yeah, just Shane, send everybody.
Yeah, Shane, what do you think about that? You got to go half full on this one, so go right ahead.
Well, I think on the half full, you certainly, when you talk about testing yourself, they're certainly going to do that here in the next 2 weeks. They're going to go on the road. When you think playoff football, you certainly heard of, you know, Pleasant. You certainly heard Newark Catholic. Those are going to be steps up in terms of the competition. For me, you know, they were a little bit banged up. To be honest, some of those things were kind of hidden very well. I didn't know until the game. A little bit more banged up than I thought they were coming into week one. I don't know how serious that's going to be. So I guess half full is going to be that you are able to have that week one situation where you maybe give an extra week to a couple kids go. But gosh, it's just the balance. I thought Newland was really impressive with his ability to throw it over the top, get some kids involved. We talked about McFadden's versatility. He sets up scores with a big catch to start the game. He sets up another one later with an interception. He sets up a third one later with a punt return, so impacting in all three phases. Braden Eisen's a complete stud. Like he might not have even broke a sweat offensively the other night. I mean, he had 5 carries. He had 2 scores. You know, he was a situation there tonight with 15, 20 carries, literally would have run for 400 to 500 yards. And then Bo Blankenship gets involved. And then the guy I wanted to highlight was Lane Mettler. Obviously he's going to get a lot of headline for finding the end zone 3 times and so forth. But John, he's going to be a factor defensively. He's moved from as an Ohio linebacker. He's moved to the defensive end spot. And I mean, he was just setting up camp the other night. I mean, he's just a kid that just plays with a motor. So Lane's going to be a kid that's going to be a problem for opposing offenses. They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with him. And he frees up a lot of guys. I know, Grubb had the pick six. And so a lot of guys, Williams, really impressive. The 6 kicks that, again, on the snaps and the holds that they got off, he was successful with. The ball came off his foot real well. So there's a lot. There's a lot to be excited about. Obviously, the competition is going to crank way up. But, yeah, on that other side, if John went the other way, I was certainly going to talk about the schedule. Mm-hmm. It's about ready to crank up. And I hope they do a good job of keeping things in-house at Paint Valley. I hope they're healthy. I just hope they are. So that's a big concern.
All right, guys, that's our football discussion for this evening. Up next, we discuss Piketon Golf, as well as what it is like for teams like Westfall Girls Golf and Unioto Tennis not having a league to play for. Our next segment going to be brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Phone number 740-986-4653. give Kevin and the guys a call, and you can look up detailed information on the web, crownhillgolfclub.com. Crown Hill Golf Club, one of our sponsors. Go ahead. Did you play your cowbell?
I was playing my cowbell.
Good.
But I want to brag on myself.
Okay.
About this is something with Don't Fear the Reaper.
Okay.
When I was a freshman in college, okay, I was not a good student the first time I went to school, and but I was close to getting a A in music appreciation, but I needed some sort of extra credit. Mm-hmm. And the professor said, "Well, if you're going to do it, you got to make an impact. It's got to be something that I've never heard. It's got to be some idea I've never really considered." And I wrote a paper, a 5-page paper called "I Gotta Have More Cowbell."
Wow.
The history of cowbell and music. And I referenced that sketch from Saturday Night Live. And I presented him with a cowbell also. And that was my first A in college. So I'm amazing. And I'm sure he still thinks about that to this day, probably doesn't, obviously, but I was proud of myself for that.
Okay, well, that'll be SVC Sports Talk Trivia brought to you by John Bruce. And I actually have in my hand right now, guys, you can't see it obviously in the studio here, but I have my More cowbell right here on my desk.
All right.
Yep. Okay. Boy, we're giving them the good stuff tonight, Shane. We really are. So why don't we take this opportunity after we've just learned so much about the cowbell and modern music. And, Shane, if you could kind of bring us up on a recap of SVC Golf Match number 2 and maybe what Piketon proved to you.
Well, I think what they proved was on a night that it counts, they were able to go toe-to-toe and get a win. I think for people that aren't familiar with golf, you have these, for lack of better terms, practice rounds. They still go out and play and they keep score and so forth. But in terms of your team score in the league standings, it's just these nights in the league matches. The individual all league, it's these particular nights that count. And I think Piketon early on proves to themselves and they prove to the league that they can go toe-to-toe and be a factor in this thing. With Endicott 39 and Cummins 42 and Armstrong 41, and then Horn with 45 picks up Skaggs and Barlow on a kind of a tough scoring night for them. So they're able to post those types of scores. I think it's going to get interesting. I think when you look at Piketon, they obviously a home course like Big Beaver kind of prepares you for a Dogwood Valley Vista type of stretch. Mm-hmm. Of golf. So you're getting into courses that those kids are going to be very, very comfortable on. Obviously, you know what you're going to get with Schoblock. He continues to lead the way. We talked about him earlier. Gerber and Lott and Platt and Kottenbach and Tucker are all in the 40s. They didn't necessarily play poorly. I think it was just a matter of getting beat by a shot. So, they're all right there. So I think this is going to be interesting. I think that's what proves to me is I don't know how many teams, I guess anything's possible on a given night if one or two guys go the wrong way. But I think it's going to be more of these top teams in the top two spots most nights. I don't know how many times one of these teams are going to drop to 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a lot of head-to-head in terms of who can play better on the right nights.
Okay. Anything else in the league you feel fans should be looking for?
Yeah, I think it's always interesting, Bruce, for them to check out our Good Health Chiropractic Center scoreboard there by Chris Good. Mm-hmm. What we do is we give a unique thing that, to my knowledge, no one else in the area really gives, and that's an updated individual leaderboard from day one of the league. So what we do is if you play in all 8 matches, they allow you to drop your lowest score.
Right. Yeah.
And they put that rule in there. We've talked about it before. They put that rule in there to kind of protect a kid who maybe gets hurt or sick or whatever or emergency can't be there. So that's kind of something to look at. Now, early on, I know we confuse people a little bit because we go ahead and drop the lowest score right now.
Yeah.
So you sometimes – I've even actually talked to a couple kids individually from different schools this week – about how, hey, you know, kind of calculated in your head the other way. And by the time you get into 3 and 4 and 5 matches, your name will appear there. Maybe just right now, you know, for example, there's some kids that maybe have had one really good round, one really bad round. So like a 47 or 38 from an Evans or a 57-43 from a Murda, they might appear up on the board because that 38 and 43 is what their average would be right now because we dropped the 47 and 57 respectively. Mm-hmm. Where if you take a Cameron Reed of Paint Valley, you won't see him on the leaderboard right now. He's at a 48-46. So, you know, he's at an average 47, but in a way he's got a little bit more wiggle room to play with because, you know, his score that's dropping right now is not as bad. So there's certainly different ways to look at it, but that's the way we kind of put it on there. So I would encourage people to go on there and look, but you'll see a pretty young leaderboard right now. And as I look down through there, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Gosh, it looks like we have 5 or 6 different schools in the top 15, which isn't always the norm over the years. So that's something I would encourage people. Usually by the next 24 hours, we'll have that leaderboard updated from the time a match plays. And I know I need to tweak some of those league matches where we had the one that was canceled and they've been kind of played out of order. But the scores are on the website there for people to check out.
Okay. Hey, you mentioned having a great fan question earlier, too, about golf. Or I guess it was not necessarily about golf. Why don't you kind of work that one in right now, too?
Well, it kind of came about golf, and someone mentioned Union of Tennis. Some people said even cross country when they play just the one day. And, you know, soccer's been in and out of this mix. And, John, I think we've talked about this before, but I think it's worth maybe mentioning again in the fall here. How do you feel about these particular sports that, you know, it's probably not that big a deal for the first week or two, but now we get into September and you start grinding the regular season out. If you don't necessarily have the standings to look at, what's your feeling on that? What past experiences maybe do you have in terms of how this can be for a group of athletes that are kind of competing day in, day out, but maybe don't have a particular standings because they don't have a league for their sport?
When I was in school, we didn't have a league to play for. We treated each game, each match, kind of like a league game to try to give us something to play for, and every one of them. I think that in some of these sports, you just really have to get yourself up for each game and just be a competitor. In each match, you can look at different ways to improve. You can see maybe this match we're playing, like for, we'll use the Westfall girls golf. Maybe you're working on your short game. You're trying to work in a different club that may help you cut off a stroke or two. I just think you got to challenge yourself in different ways. I think coaching is huge in those sports because, you got to get them ready to play. Your goal is the end of the season and tournament time, or like you mentioned with cross country, you have the one big meet at the end of the year. How do you cut down on time? How do you get yourselves prepared for, you know, that time? And it's a grind. You kind of mentioned it. I it's a lot of coaching, a lot of personal, just being a competitor, in my opinion.
You know, it's interesting, Bruce, because I know sometimes even in baseball where you have a league standings, mm-hmm. you can't help but as you get in the middle of the year, you can't help but start looking at the sectional seeding standings as well. Sure. But even in golf, like if you take a Maddie Schultz and an Ellis Seeley and company there in the Lady Mustangs, you know, there's no seeding there, period. You know, like even when you get to the sectional, it's okay, everyone shows up that day, and are you good enough to win?
Right.
So it is. It's a tricky thing. Same way, I assume there's some seedings and different things for Uniota, but look, Sylvia Gray, and by the way, Sylvia Gray didn't play the other night. Before people freak out when they saw the five, I had like two texts and an email. Like, she lost? She lost? No. Read the page. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think it's tough. I agree with everything John just said in terms of you have to be able to grind it out. And I think there's certain cross country runners that gosh, they almost understand, like they see times all year in terms of the all leagues, one thing, but some of them are looking to peak more the week after in the district and regional and so forth. So that's something we'll follow, and maybe even we'll ask a couple kids moving forward and have them on SVC Sports Talk. But that seems to come up, Bruce, in some form every year. Mm-hmm. And it's a valid point, certainly a valid question. And I'd like to maybe turn to some of the kids and get their take on that and maybe revisit that throughout the fall.
All right. We will do that. So you go out there and get them kids to talk to us. We would appreciate that. Guys, next up, we're going to talk some volleyball as the league is showing signs of what Shane calls complete chaos. Get down there, John Bruce.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
All right. This section, volleyball, going to be brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. You can find them on the web, AdvancedServicesHVAC.com. I wanted to make sure I got that. AdvancedServicesHVAC.com, one word. Or you can call them, 877-947-4499. They are celebrating the 20th year of serving Southern Ohio. You can schedule a consultation today right on their website, Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. We had a fan question. What I liked about this, Shane, was the fan actually gave us a little direction even as to how to do this, I believe. So well thought out. Well thought out. Good question, Mr. and Mrs. or whatever fan. We really appreciate this. Fan question gives us six factors and wants us to rank them from least important to most important in terms of who wins the league or what will impact the overall standings. And it's suggested here, like last week, I can read them and then have John talk about the one he wants to do next and then have Shane respond. So if that direction came from the provider of this, Shane, I really, really do appreciate this. So we'll go on here. Okay, so the factors are, and again, there are six of them: home court advantage, star performances, consistent rotations, setting position, serving, or injuries. John, you're supposed to rank these from least important to most important in terms of who wins the league or what will impact the overall standings. So, John, what would you say is least important?
I will say home court advantage.
Okay. All right. You want to embellish that, or are we going to just drop that?
I think, you know, there's a possibility of playing on the court where the hoop, the basketball hoop, doesn't go completely up, that it could hit off and it could affect a point or two.
Okay.
But here's the thing. There's like four courts in the league that have that. And then the other four courts, the hoop goes up plenty and they have a high ceiling and it won't really affect anything. Now, one home court advantage I could see, I haven't been to Westfall yet this year. You know, kind of like Zane Tracy the other day, is it going to be real hot there? Mm-hmm. Because I know that was a kind of an issue last year. So maybe there, that could be an advantage. But overall, I just think volleyball's so, you know, how things are set up, and the crowd usually isn't that big of an impact. So I think home court advantage would be last for me.
Okay. Shane, how do you respond to that? Do you agree, disagree? Where do you think home court advantage should kind of come in?
Well, and in this, I probably don't disregard it as much as John did there, but I certainly, out of these particular six,
yeah,
I certainly would put it six.
Okay.
I think what's interesting about this particular comment was the league champion or the league standing. So, like, I take that as, you know, not just who finishes first, but who finishes, say, third instead of sixth, or who finishes fifth instead of seventh, or, you know, that type of thing. So the home court advantage is certainly important. It's certainly to say that Westfall doesn't have an advantage when they play their seven home games up there. They certainly do. That's a bus ride no one looks forward to. That's a unique atmosphere, I'll say. See how I worded that so I don't get the Westfall people so mad at me?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and in all seriousness, the other night at Zane Trace, to think that, you know, even though it's non-league, when I watched Unio to at Chillicothe, to think that, you know, playing at home in those atmospheres wasn't easier than playing on the road, that's simply, you know, you're just not – you're that's not right. I mean, Zane Trace was certainly given a little bit of a lift, I think, from playing at home the other night. But overall, when I start looking at these other things, I think they're going to impact the actual volleyball being played more than, you know, if I'm playing you know, at Zane Trace or if I'm playing out on the blacktop outside of school.
All right. John, where do you feel the next least – or I guess it would be more important, a little bit more important than home court advantage is? What of these six factors?
Can I go all six or all five? I can't do that, right?
No, I don't think you can.
I'm going to go injuries.
Really?
You know, it's – yeah. This is – you can maybe hear me out on this.
Okay.
Unioda played Huntington without four key players of their rotation and were able to win. So, you know, and Huntington's a good team. So, you know, injuries are playing a role somewhat. But, you know, I think depending on the team – I'll say depending on the team with injuries, you know, it could be a major talking point because I know one team it is affecting a lot. So maybe I reached on this, but you know, and I know Shane's going to tell me you're wrong, and because Shane does a lot more volleyball than I do, but I'm pretty smart, so I'm going to go with injuries on this one.
And very self-assured as well. Okay, Shane, yes. What do you feel about injuries?
Injuries, I had it in the three spot. So I rank it a little bit more importance than John having it at five.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's not only who wins the league, but as I said, who goes up top to bottom. If you'll remember back to the preview show, I said I didn't want to overstate it, but just starting with the Lockwood injury.
Mm-hmm.
Lockwood injury at Southeastern, and you look at them playing – Westfall and Zane Trace head-to-head this past week. I'm not saying they would have won those matches, but obviously take the Zane Trace match, for example. They go four. Most of those matches were played in the 20s. So, you know, in a serve receive or defensively digging some extra balls up in a rally, is that the difference? I don't know. I do know what happens with injuries is you ask people to start moving around and do a little bit more than maybe they're capable of. I think they're getting some decent setting from Cooper and Longheed. And obviously Heiss is going to stuff the stat sheet, and Scott and Christopher and some of these kids are coming along. Bell's even had some numbers there, and we know about Bo Skeens. I just, you know, when I read this particular thing and it says, you know, affects the standings, mm-hmm. I had mentioned in the preview show from 2 to 6, and the more I see that. Now, obviously, Uniota's had some injuries as well. I don't know how much long-term that's going to be, but yeah, I mean, I think injuries are kind of middle of the pack. I certainly think it's a factor for sure. And you cross your fingers, you hope, but you know, you never know when injuries will still play a role moving forward. You hope not, but that's part of sports.
Okay, so John, you were wrong basically, but that's all right.
Of course, I understand that.
Yep. All right, so we still have star performances, consistent rotations, setting position. I wonder where that one will be within Shane's priorities, and serving. So what next, moving up the level of importances here, what's next on your level, John?
There's a lot, but I'm going to go serving.
Okay.
At four. Maybe if it was serving / serve receive, obviously both make a major impact. I think after home court advantage, all five of these are extremely important. So I do think that, you know, with that Zane Trace Unioda match on Tuesday, both teams kind of got away with not very aggressively serving, mm-hmm. not having great serve numbers. I mean, there's a lot of service errors that I kind of pointed out to Shane, and then, of course, it didn't end up mattering in the set that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Then I watched on Thursday, and, Allison Basie just has a great aggressive attacking serve, and Unieta struggled a little bit, but it didn't matter over the course of the match. It may matter in a couple matches because she's going to get rolling in the right situation. But I do think serving's a little less important than the others. Okay. Not by much.
All right. Shane, what do you say about serving?
Well, I reluctantly put this down at 5. This is something that is almost an entire volleyball segment in itself, because the idea of serving, I go back to last year's Unieta Southeastern match about how, the one team, it was more about efficiency and get the ball in play, and we're better than you, we're bigger than you, and so forth. Where the other team, hey, we're going to come at you tough, we're going to attack you, we're going to miss some serves, but we're also going to serve with some aces. We're going to serve you out of system a couple times, offset your height. And I think that's what happens. Yeah, like I was watching Westfall Paint Valley the other day, where Westfall didn't have to serve as aggressively because they had such an incredible length or height advantage at the net with Phillips and company. And what Williams and Mullins and Latham and Young and so forth were able to do was almost overwhelming Paint Valley. When Paint Valley had their best set, it was when Stanforth and McFadden were able to get some serving going. They had some aces. They had some things off system. Now all of a sudden, Smith was able to get some swings at the net, and they were able to go a little bit. So, I think that when I look at matches like that, I just see that there's certain matches that maybe serving's not going to be a factor, but sure, could it impact a match here and there in terms of the competition level? I think so, for sure. Okay. And I should throw in too the Chapman injury at Paint Valley. If she's not back for the Piketon match, again, impacting standings, that's another injury too. I left that off my notes earlier, I should mention.
All right. John, we're back to you. Let's see. We've got the 6-5-4. We're number 3 for you. We still have star performances left, consistent rotations, or setting position.
I'm going to go star performances at 3.
Okay.
I think they're huge for the middle of the pack teams. But here's what I'll say. I don't know who they even are at this point. I think this league is so interesting, so maybe you can bump it up a little bit higher, but I think with the, if you've got one star, what can they do in certain spots in the rotation? Mm-hmm. So that could be, a big part. But I think consistency with the entire team is probably more important than star performances at this point.
Okay. Shane? Your reaction,
John. This is probably where you and I looked at this a little bit differently, because I don't disagree with the wording that you just used in terms of the way you are analyzing the league. But in this particular league, I guess I'm going to go the other route on star performances. I had it number 1. I think we're in a situation where now more than ever, I need my best players to play their best. I need, when it comes time. When it comes time, if I'm playing 10, 11, 12 people, you're spot on. I need depth. I need, if I'm going to put you in, I got to have you perform. I can't have you, because in volleyball, you mess up, it's a point, right? It's one of those, I've got to have you execute and do things. But at the same time, Huntington is off to a great start, because Basie and Still and company have been really good. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where they win Huntington goes and wins the Athens invite, because, Basie and Still have huge days hitting. Steele, Alyssa Steele puts the ball in spots. Then the role players are passing well with Henneberger and company, doing the things they need to do. When it comes time, like the other night, I thought Allie Bennett was really good for Zane Trace. When I need my best players to play their best when it's go time. So when it's when Uniota's coming to town there, if you're Westfall, you obviously need Phillips. You obviously need Williams. You obviously need you need those kids to step up and play their best that night. And because if they don't, you may not get another opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the history of our league, usually what, 1-2, no more than 3 losses is what it takes to be a true league contender. you just don't have very many times. Now, I do think what you're saying about the balance is why I am so intrigued by Zane Trace, why I am so intrigued by Nadina. We'll talk about them a little bit more in a second. But I think, to me, in this particular league, because, like you said, there's not as many stars. If I'm lucky enough to have one of those elite passers or one of those elite hitters, or one of the, I need you to be big time when it comes time to do so.
All right. Good deal. We have consistent rotations left, John, and setting position.
I go consistent rotations number two. I think knowing what you're getting from each spot in the rotation is gigantic. Knowing how you can attack with that rotation, I guess that kind of matches in with the injuries a little bit. But just being able to – consistency is gigantic in all sports, and I think volleyball is just another one where it's extremely important.
All right, Shane?
Well, again, John and I are looking at this a lot more the same than you think we are. We're just kind of maybe – we're just almost coming to some different conclusions in terms of how we rank a few things. Because as I listen to him talk about it, I have consistent rotations at four. And here's the only reason I say four is I think at the end of the day – I talked about earlier in the show, I can't remember a time where more teams are playing 9, 10, 11, 12 kids all the time. You know, it's, you know, over the years, you think about a certain team and you're like, okay, there's these 8 or 9 kids at play. I can almost put on paper their rotation. She comes in for her, she hits, she pounds. I start doing that with a couple teams right now after only watching them play once. It makes my head hurt. And I'm trying to figure out how all 12 kids got in the game and so forth. I mean, you know, it's bizarre. It really is. So there's a lot of teams that are playing a ton of different kids. So consistent rotation from that aspect makes it real important. I think, though, in coaches' minds, as they get more and more into this, in their mind, it is a little bit more, or at least it's going to be. We're only two matches into the SVC race. I think it's going to become clear. So I'm going to give the coaches the benefit of the doubt and think that this is going to get shored up a little bit more this particular week. Now, if we're still sitting here next week or the week after and I still have the same concerns, then I could certainly move it up to where John has it at two. But right now, because of the importance of some of the other things, I'm going to go four.
All right. And John, by default, you feel most important as to who wins the league or what will impact the overall standings is the setting position.
Oh, I didn't know that was the one I had left.
Yep.
Oh, okay. No, it's I did it on purpose. I was trying to get Shane to like me more. but really, when I look at all the matches I watch, I just think the setting position is incredibly, you know, vital to scoring. Mm-hmm. You had to score 25 points to win each set. Obviously defense gets you there, but you got to have someone setting you up. We saw it the last few years with how good Union and Southeastern have been with elite level setters. Adina, whenever they were winning 8 million league games in a row, had just elite setters every year. Mm-hmm. And I think the setting position to me is you have to have a top level setter to be able to get through 14 games in this extremely good league.
Yep. Shane, what do you say about setting position?
Well, I had it in the two spot, as you heard me say earlier about star performance. And here's where I'm coming from. Obviously, you guys don't have to do any convincing and telling me how important the setting position is. I guess the reason I went the other route here is – I think if you're not careful, it's almost unfair to ask certain setters to do too much. You know, this particular league is not really utilizing the setter in that elite way in all instances, John. There's a lot of 6-2s going on, even some that have flirted with 5-1. They've gone back and forth, or even in the 5-1, there's one or two rotations where they don't want to move their serve receive, and they've got, you know, setter, you know, taking this setter up here will take the first ball and then the second ball over, they'll move the setter into place, or they're letting the setter hit over here. And then, so there's still a lot of chaos in the continuous rotations. So that's why I like what you said about that. But I just think what happens is the reason I think the star power is so important is every now and then you need hitters to go be good bad ball hitters, I call them. If the set's not exactly where you need it, then get off the floor and hammer it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what the elite hitters do. How do you also help a setter position that's still growing in this particular league? Well, you pass the ball well. You know, in the past, you know, the likes of Eberts, the likes of Goebel, some kids like that could offset bad passing because they could just come off to the 10-foot line a little bit and still put the ball in the proper spot. You know, in this particular league, that's where I love the Sedina team, is you're talking about three or four passers across the back that are just elite with their ball control. So it's going to make life on their setters a lot easier. When you look at the likes of Riley and Carroll and Garrison, just those passers back, obviously both lovelies, with McKenna all the way around and Michaela doing some setting and Derek doing some setting. That's what's going to allow the big hitters in the middle, you know, like a Harper, like a Martin, to swing away. And so passing probably becomes important. You know, Pinkerton, Cottrell, I said earlier, I need my best players to be their best. I thought that's kind of what happened in the Chillicothe match. I thought that's kind of what was happening at times when they started to come back the other night at Zane Trace. They just kind of dug themselves in a hole and then had a nightmare fifth set. A lot of that credit goes to the incredible balance of Zane Trace. Love their young kids, by the way. Goodness, that's my first look at them, and their freshman class is really, really good. So I guess that's where I'm coming from. You know how much I love the setter position. I just – right now, I think the setters are still growing, and I'm still evaluating them to see what this is going to look like a week or two from now.
Right. Gentlemen, good discussion there on volleyball in our segment brought to us by Advanced Services. Hey, we wanted to also mention that if you would like to provide any kind of input for the podcast, we would really appreciate it. You can do so many ways. First, you can call DBK Media Services, leave us a voicemail message, 740-569-3254. You can also, we ask that you, for your help in just getting the podcast out there to the general public. Share the posts on Facebook and Twitter, and you can also give us a review on iTunes and a rating on iTunes as well. We want to give you the ability to communicate with these gentlemen. Shane has an email account, admin1@svcsportzone.com. He's also available on Twitter. svcsportzone is his handle there. And he has two profiles, his personal profile, which is Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and then the website profile, if you will, svcsportzone.com. John is available by email, jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and always the popular @CoconutWallPapa is his handle on Twitter. And they would be using the SVC Sports Talk, and if I can bend their arms a little bit, they will be using the hashtag #EatIt for special highlights about their food and their sustenance that they take in while at the games, while at the matches, and so forth. So that wraps up my stuff here, Shane. What do you have as we wind things down?
Well, I think that's it. Well, you know, John and I will kind of take our notes to be continued the next week there. I know we wanted to add some different things in. Obviously, we never want to cheat our volleyball coverage because it's, you know, some of the best in the area. So we take a lot of pride in that. But, you guys, on that note, we'll get out of here this time, and we'll kind of save some things for next week. But do check out some of those new features on the website. Always looking to grow. And speaking of the website, make sure you get there and support our sponsors, and make sure you're checking where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, and visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.